Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
MCH gets second vaccine shipment. OA News at OAOA.com. A second shipment of the Pfizer vaccine arrived on schedule Monday, ensuring Medical Center Health System and the City of Odessa can continue their mass vaccination efforts at Ratliff Stadium uninterrupted for the rest of the week. Trevor Tankersley, Director of Public Relations for MCHS, confirmed the hospital received a second shipment of 3,900 doses of the Pfizer vaccine on Monday. The hospital last week received its first 3,900 doses, which they began administering on Sunday. About 1,900 shots were administered on Sunday from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Tankersley said. Law enforcement officials estimated up to 3,000 people showed up for the first day of vaccination, with about 1,000 people turned away and told to come back later in the week. Vaccinations are being offered from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., Monday through Friday, MCH President and CEO Russell Tippin said. City officials noted far fewer people showed up for the vaccine on Monday. At 10 a.m., only a handful of vehicles were in line, City Communications Specialist Michael Nieto said. Tippin said the hospital is expecting weekly shipments of the Pfizer vaccine through at least February. The tentative plan is to then offer shots at Odessa Regional Medical Center and various clinics throughout the country. To speed up the process at Ratliff Stadium, officials are asking the public to pre-register online at https://secure.echd.org/qdregvax/default.aspx. The pre-registration link is not for setting up an appointment or a specific date and time to receive the vaccination. It's a pre-registration tool that will speed up the process of administering the vaccine. People who don't pre-register prior to arriving at the stadium will be rerouted to a waiting area where they will have to register before they can proceed to the vaccination area. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 26, 2021, OAOA.com, local news. Woman charged with spitting on OPD officer. OA News at OAOA.com. A 40-year-old woman was arrested after she reportedly spit on an Odessa Police Department officer while she was being detained at the Child Protective Services office. Ashley K. Don Shearling was charged with harassment of a public servant by spitting, a third-degree felony, abandoning or endangering a child, a state jail felony, and public intoxication, a Class C misdemeanor. The reported harassment to a public servant happened at 1:34 p.m. January 20th at the CPS office located at 2525 North Grandview Avenue, the affidavit stated. Officers responded to an attempt to locate a wanted subject. A warrant for abandoning or endangering a child had been issued for Shearling's arrest on January 14th. While Shearling was detained in handcuffs at the CPS office on January 20th, she reportedly moved her head back and forth to make her face mask drop below her mouth. Shearling became upset and intentionally spit in the direction of OPD officer Emily McKay Hawkins. Officer Hawkins was dressed in her full OPD-issued patrol uniform, and she was clearly identified as a public servant, the affidavit stated. Hawkins detailed that she could see Shearling's spit flying toward her, and it made contact with her chest area of her uniform. The charge of abandoning or endangering a child stemmed from her infant, who was born on January 11th, testing positive for cocaine, another OPD probable cause affidavit stated. CPS was reportedly contacted with information that a urine drug screen was collected from Sheerling and the newborn. The UDS showed that Sheerling tested positive for cocaine. Sheerling admitted to CPS that she was using methamphetamine and crack cocaine before and during her pregnancy, the affidavit stated. Sheerling was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. She has two bonds totaling $15,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show. Man charged with choking ex-girlfriend. OA News at OAOA.com. An Ector County Sheriff's Office probable cause affidavit detailed that a 53-year-old man was arrested after he choked his ex-girlfriend. Scott Allen Johnson was charged with assault by impeding breathing or circulation, a third-degree felony. The reported assault happened at 9:10 p.m. January 23rd in the 1900 block of Shawnee Trail, the affidavit stated. Deputies reportedly made contact with 62-year-old Wanda Hitt, who stated that her ex-boyfriend and now roommate, Johnson, had assaulted her and strangled her, which caused her to lose breath and gasp for air. Hitt stated that Johnson grabbed her around the neck with both hands, cutting off her airway, the affidavit stated. Deputies saw visible red marks on her neck, which is consistent with her claims of being choked. Johnson was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He had one bond totaling $10,000 and was still in custody as of Monday morning, jail records show. Woman teen charged with assaulting woman. OA News at OAOA.com. A 26-year-old woman and an 18-year-old man were arrested after the woman assaulted another woman and attempted to cut her ponytail off with a pair of scissors while the man shot the woman who was assaulted. Bailey Allison Nicole Phillips, 26, and Cameron Lee Graves, 18, were each charged with burglary of a habitation with intent to commit another felony, a first-degree felony. The reported incident happened January 18th at the Andalusia Apartments, located at 5075 East 52nd Street, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit detailed. Officers reportedly saw two victims inside the apartment, with one of them being shot. The victims were identified as Jared Lamb and Alicia Stevens. Stevens was shot on her left hand and right thigh. There was a large amount of blood on the bedroom floor next to the bed where Stevens had been sleeping. Stevens was transported to Medical Center Hospital, and Lamb stayed on the scene, the affidavit stated. Both victims reported that they were sleeping in one of the apartment bedrooms when they woke up to Lamb's ex-girlfriend, Phillips, and Graves standing over them. Lamb and Stevens reportedly told police that Graves pointed a black handgun at them and told them not to move or he would shoot. Phillips began assaulting Stevens and trying to cut off her ponytail with a pair of blue-handled scissors. Lamb and Stevens stated that as Phillips and Graves were leaving their bedroom, that Graves fired a shot toward them, the affidavit stated. The bullet went through Stevens' left hand and into her right thigh. Graves was arrested and booked into the Ector County Law Enforcement Center at 5:54 p.m. January 18th, while Phillips was arrested and booked into jail at 2:18 a.m. January 23rd, jail records show. Phillips has one bond totaling $100,000, while Graves has one bond totaling $75,000. Phillips and Graves were each in custody as of Monday afternoon. Driver's license waiver ends in April. OA News at OAOA.com. Austin. The Texas Department of Public Safety detailed in a press release that waiver on expiration dates for driver's licenses and identification cards ends April 14th. Customers who need to renew are asked to make an appointment or renew online today. The waiver, granted by Governor Greg Abbott in March 2020 due to the COVID-19 pandemic, applied to driver's licenses, commercial driver's licenses, commercial learner permits, identification cards, and election identification certificates that expired on or after March 13, 2020. Driver license employees have worked diligently to help Texans during challenging times and should be commended for their dedication, DPS Director Stephen McCross stated in the press release. The Driver License Division has innovated to better serve constituents by implementing a new appointment solution to improve services and by providing extended hours at several locations across the state. Many Texans are eligible to renew their driver's license or identification cards or changing their address online at texas.gov. Customers can also renew by phone at 1-866-DLRENEW, 1-866-357-3639. The requirements and cost for online and phone renewal are the same as in-person transactions. Designated high-volume offices are expanding hours from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 7 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. Friday. Services at driver's license offices are now conducted by appointment only. To schedule an appointment or check availability, visit the online appointment scheduler located at tinyurl.com/Y5GAOMDA. To ensure a safe environment, COVID-19 protocols have been implemented at driver license offices. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 26th, 2021. More local news. Empty bowls set Saturday. OA News at OAOA.com. The West Texas Food Bank is partnering once again with Odessa College, Midland College, University of Texas of the Permian Basin, the Odessa High International Baccalaureate Program, the Boys and Girls Clubs of the Permian Basin, and Trinity School to bring you the annual Empty Bowls event. Although the event will look a little different this year, thanks to a generous donation from HEB, 100% of the proceeds raised will go to the West Texas Food Bank. Handmade ceramic bowls created by students and faculty from the partner groups will be available for $15 apiece. The bowls will be displayed throughout the new innovative gardens in what will be an exclusive sneak peek. People who can attend can pick out your favorite bowl and support the food bank. In the interest of keeping the event as safe as possible, no food will be served. A news release said the food bank is grateful to Catfish & Company in Odessa and Jason's Deli in Midland for their years of support of this event, and they look forward to having them back next year. Empty table sponsorships will be available for $500 and will include 6 Pick of the Kiln bowls, which are handpicked by the artists and are the best of the best. Pick of the Kiln bowls will be prepackaged and ready to go for easy pickup. Sponsorships also include 6 West Texas Food Bank insulated cups and a gift card to the garlic press. We are so excited to bring Empty Bowls back to Midland this year and give a sneak peek of our new innovative gardens, Executive Director Libby Campbell said in the release. This is absolutely one of my most favorite events of the year. I love seeing all the handcrafted bowls made by the children and look forward to seeing their unique creations. The support of the colleges and Boys and Girls Clubs is always very heartwarming, and I love seeing all the support from the community. Tickets are available online through Eventbrite, and more information is available on the WTFB Facebook page's Empty Bowls event. https://www.facebook.com/events/10046-7739-0906-9237. Online tickets allow entry into the event, but do not guarantee a bowl. bowls and food will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. For sponsorship opportunities, please call the food bank. The Empty Bowls event will also have a silent auction starting the day of the event, which will run for a week. The silent auction is virtual this year and can be viewed here. https://www.32auctions.com/empty bowls2021. Items will be added up to the start of the auction on January 30th, so keep checking back. If you go, what? Empty bowls. When? 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday. Where? West Texas Food Bank Innovative Gardens, 1601 West Cliff Drive, Midland. TxDOT, TxDOT, looking for public feedback. OANews@OAOA.com. The Texas Department of Transportation is working on plans for proposed improvements to U.S. Highway 385 to U.S. Highway 62 in the city of Seminole, and public input has been requested, a press release detailed. The survey will allow the public to provide TxDOT with thoughts on three proposed route options and what are the area's transportation priorities. The survey will be from January 25th to March 1st. The Seminole Relief Routes Survey can be found at tinyurl.com/y2uthxe8, while the Spanish version can be found at tinyurl.com/y6bsmpnh. There will also be a virtual public meeting providing additional information on February 11th. Pfluger named Assistant Whip, OANews@OAOA.com. A press release announced that U.S. Representative August Pfluger, R. San Angelo, was selected by Republican Whip Steve Scalise to serve as an Assistant Whip on the Republican Whip team for the 117th Congress. The whip team is reportedly a hand-picked group of leaders who assist Republican leadership in managing the party's legislative program on the House floor. Conservatives have our work cut out for us over the next 2 years, with Democrats controlling the House, Senate, and White House, Pfluger said in the press release. The Biden administration has already launched an agenda that will destroy American energy, further degrade our already failing immigration system, and deteriorate our military strength. I am honored to help lead my Republican colleagues as we push against these harmful policies and stand up for conservative values in Congress. I'm excited to have August join our whip team for the 117th Congress, Scalise stated in the press release. Republicans must put up a unified front against House Democrats' far-left agenda, and August will be a critical part of that effort. August has already gained the respect of his fellow Republican freshmen when they elected him to be their representative to the steering committee, and I expect him to be an important addition to our team. His military service and national security experience will be a great help as we face unprecedented challenges on the global scale. Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 26th. 2021. Obituary. Charles Dennis Jones. Waco, Texas. On Friday, January 22nd, 2021, Charles Dennis Jones passed away at the age of 70. He was born in Pasadena, Texas, to Charles and Peggy Jones. Dennis is preceded in death by his mother, Peggy Hughbanks Jones, and stepmother, Aretta Jones. He is survived by his loving wife, Beverly, his children, Nisha Jones, Chad Jones, and wife, Lori, Joshua Unken, and wife, Allison, grandchildren, Trevor Jones, Jackson Jones, Lindy Jones, and Sebastian Unken, his father, Charles Jones, mother-in-law, Winnie Jefferson, and siblings, Cindy Hoskins and Cliff Jones, brothers-in-law, Stephen Hoskins, Richard Jefferson, Craig Jefferson, and many nieces, nephews, and cousins. A memorial service will be held for Dennis at 11 a.m. Saturday, January 30th, 2021, at Ephesus Baptist Church, 4564 County Road 346, Marquez, Texas, 77865. Family is handling arrangements. Death Notice. Santos Martinez Gutierrez, Odessa. Santos Martinez Gutierrez, 62, of Odessa, died Wednesday, January 20th, 2021, in Odessa. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Wednesday, January 27th, 2021, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Burial will follow at Sunset Memorial Gardens Monument Section. Father Joe Barbieri is officiating. Arrangements are by Martinez Funeral Home and Crematory of Odessa.
Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January the 19th, 2020, Education Section. MISD Board to discuss calendar options. No decision will be made until at least February, by Stuart Doreen, S-D-O-R-E-E-N, at HurstNP.com. The new Midland ISD School Board will be presented with calendar options for the 2021-22 school year at its meeting today. The presentation of options is not an action item. That is likely to take place in February, but starts the discussion of a possible change to an intersessional calendar. The idea of an intersessional calendar was promoted by former Midland ISD leadership last school year, including as a tool to combat classroom time lost because of the COVID pandemic. As it turned out, there have been no campus closures that have impacted students' time in the classroom. School board members said no to the calendar in June, but stated at the time they were open to discussing it again prior to the 21-22 campaign. This year, Interim Superintendent Ann Dixon hasn't minced words that an intersessional calendar should be used to help struggling students to catch up with their reading. Dixon's conversations with the Reporter Telegram have included that the district needs tools to help students close the gap. And while intersessional learning would be optional, those students failing accountability tests will be held back instead of being promoted. The calendar, which features a one-week intersessional break in October and an additional week in March, will be one of three shown to the board for discussion. Another option, according to the district in its agenda packet, are a traditional calendar that includes up to 30 days of additional learning for students, such as summer enrichment. The third option is called a full-year redesign, a 200-day calendar that changes daily schedules to decrease instruction time so it can be spread out over additional days and increase time for planning and student brain breaks, according to the district. The additional days of school year initiative addresses summer learning loss, which can have a profound effect on students from low-income backgrounds, according to MISD agenda documents. The cumulative impact of summer learning loss has been shown to create a gap of up to three grade levels for low-income students by fifth grade. Funding for an additional day's school year is available for those days beyond a minimum of 180 up to 210 days, specifically for grades pre-K through fifth. Both calendars have been shared with campus leadership and members of the District Educational Improvement Committee. The discussion will provide some insight on how much board members have evolved on the new calendar. In June, Brian Murray, Tommy Bishop, Robert Marquez, and Board President Rick Davis voted down the new calendar, while John Trashitti voted for the document. During that meeting, Katie Joyner, who was not on the board, called in during a public comment period to express her objections to an intersessional calendar. Parents and teachers supported the traditional calendar, according to a survey conducted in the spring leading up to the June meeting. Today's meeting is set for 5:30 p.m. at Bowie Fine Arts Academy, 805 Elk Avenue. Hi, this is Jack. I'm reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Tuesday, January 26, 2021. Education Section. Midland College Profiles. Director's focus is to change lives impact community. Midland College hires director for new phase of Legacy Scholars Program. I've never seen a community with this level of commitment and investment in its citizens, Marshall Kelly Tribble said. The more I learn about the Legacy Scholars Program, the more I am excited to be a part of it. This past December, Midland College hired Tribble as the director of the Re-Envisioned Program. We're ramping up to change the Legacy Scholars Program from one of just giving students access to college to one that helps students engineer their success in college and in the workforce, Tribble explained. Originally from South Carolina, Tribble is the son of a Baptist minister turned college professor and teacher. He said that he was born to be an educator and always knew what his life's work would be from a young age. It was inevitable, he said. The thing that you focus on is what you ride toward. Without some considerable change of force, I was going to be in education. It was an easy transition. Tribble received a BA in Media Arts from the University of South Carolina, a Master's in Education in Instructional Technology, and PhD in Education from the University of Georgia in Athens. In 2002, Tribble finished his education with a graduate certificate in higher education from the University of South Carolina. Before joining MC, Tribble worked at Tarrant County College for 8 years, first as Director of Faculty Development and then as Director of Academic Affairs. Tribble said that the position as Director of the MC Legacy Scholars Program intrigued him because it offers an opportunity to inspire students to be more intentional about their education, place in the world, and impact on others' lives. He likes how the program provides students the support and opportunity needed to develop a philanthropic and civic spirit, a strong academic foundation, and demand leadership skills. Since 1986, the Legacy Scholarship has held open the doors of education to Midland students, Mark Palmer, executive director of the Abel Hanger Foundation, said. We are excited about the evolution of the Legacy program designed to enhance student success. We hope Midland students will pursue the opportunities created by the new program. Tribble plans to approach the new phase of the program holistically. We want students to have renewed enthusiasm and a great intention, Tribble explained. It is easy to become short-sighted. I have found that with a little inspiration and intention, people can set their sights and goals on specific things and achieve a lot more than they would have if they were drifting. In 1986, trustees of Abel Hanger Foundation responded to the need for higher education assistance in Midland because of a dramatic downturn in the energy industry that left families with reduced incomes. Since that time, the program has provided scholarships to attend MC to more than 15,000 graduates of Midland County High Schools. In 2003, the Helen Greathouse Charitable Trust partnered with Abel Hanger Foundation, and the scholarship was named the Legacy Scholarship. Later, the Chaparral Foundation and Scarber Foundation joined this rich tradition of supporting MC students to pursue higher education. The Legacy Scholarship Program is a springboard for student achievement and a tribute to the vision and dedication of Abel Hanger Foundation leadership over the years, Grant Billingsley, Executive Director of Scarber Foundation, said. Improving lives is not easy, but the long-standing history of these scholarships has provided untold opportunities for many, many students and families for nearly 35 years. Just the fact that the Legacy Scholars Program exists is a testament to our donors and our foundations and how they made this conscious decision a few decades ago to reinvest in our citizens. MC Vice President of Student Services, Julia Vickery, recognizes the program's value to the Midland community and is excited that Kelly Tribble has joined the college family. Legacy weaves throughout the Midland College fabric, Vickery said. As Legacy grows into a new phase, we're thrilled to have Kelly serve as the custodian and lead. His enthusiasm and commitment to the program's vision are contagious. Tribble feels it is a gratifying experience to be here to help people on their journey. The Legacy Scholars Program is now bundled together with students' philanthropic development with success and coaching. Giving students the keys to the door doesn't necessarily help them focus their drive. College can be a difficult challenge. It takes talking to students one-on-one, finding out what their strengths are, helping them become more self-aware, and helping them have more impact on themselves and their community. The new Legacy Scholars Program will go into effect in the fall of 2021. June 1st is the initial deadline for applicants to receive full consideration, and Midland College will accept applications for 6 additional weeks. We want our Legacy Scholars to be inspired to earn their fortunes in the workforce, contribute, and never forget where they came from and how important it is to pay it forward. Whether through volunteerism or financial giving, we are trying to infuse the Legacy Scholars with a philanthropy-minded approach to their lives. Getting to know the new school board president, Brian Murray. Representative of District 7, previous positions. President of the Great House Elementary PTA, former president of the Midland Council of PTAs, and a lifetime member of the Texas PTA. Former president and treasurer of the Lee High School Football Booster Club, treasurer of the Lee High School Baseball Booster Club. He was also served as the board of the Greater Midland Football League. Originally from Odessa, a 1988 graduate of Permian High School, earned his Bachelor of Business Administration and Accounting from West Texas State, now West Texas A&M, in 1992, and received his CPA license in 1994. Murray is currently the controller at 3N Investment, where he has been employed since 2000. He previously worked in public accounting and at an oil and gas company. A graduate of Leadership Odessa and serving as treasurer of Permian Basin Child's Play and as president, vice president, and treasurer of the Illinois Art Museum. He's married to Amy Murray, a teacher who has worked as an educator for more than 25 years. She teaches fourth grade at Faskin. They attend Stonegate Fellowship. Murray has 3 sons, Bryson, Brock, and Britton, all of whom are Lee High School graduates. His stepdaughter, Lindy, attends Abel Junior High.
Hello, this is Michael, reading additional articles from the inside of the Midland Reporter-Telegram, published Thursday, January 21st. Wicked Plants exhibit teaches about toxic side to plants. New exhibit at MC deals with social and political problems surrounding the DACA community, by J.C. Lewis. The Midland County Public Library Centennial Branch's new exhibit, Wicked Plants, takes viewers through a decrepit Victorian-era home. The exhibit has learning opportunities about botany, health care, and wellness, and demonstrates the actual biochemical, physical, and neurological processes between human bodies and plants. Library Program and Education Coordinator Hannah Johnson said the exhibit is for children ages 12 years or older. She said it is more suited for older children because there is a lot more about reading up on plants and has interactive problem-solving parts. "It hits all varieties of plants," Johnson said. "People can learn about common plants like potatoes that we eat and that have toxic properties. They will learn about plants and their psychedelic properties. Just simple things. Even in the dining room, people will learn about how rhubarb can be toxic." The exhibit is inspired by Amy Stewart's best-selling book, Wicked Plants, The Weed That Killed Lincoln's Mother and Other Botanical Atrocities. The library will have an author talk with Stewart via Zoom sometime during the exhibit. The date and time is to be announced. Not every plant is toxic. Some plants are considered deadly, such as vines that aren't toxic but might choke out other plant species, she said. The exhibit is sanitized and fogged throughout the day and week to keep interactive surfaces clean. Viewers can walk through a graveyard, dining room, with a Last Supper interactive exhibit featuring mundane foods that can be poisonous under certain circumstances, and in the bathroom, viewers can smell the most unappealing plants. Johnson's favorite fact is that rhubarb leaves are toxic to humans, but the stalks don't contain the oxalic acid, which is harmful. Social Impact and Community Engagement Coordinator Megan Buck said eggplants used to be considered poisonous and contain more nicotine than any other edible plant. "This exhibit contains a lot of facts that people don't expect to learn from a classroom or in a textbook," Buck said. "It makes it interesting for older elementary kids and teenagers." Starting in February, the library will be offering field trips and group tours for groups of 10 people at a time, Buck said. To schedule a tour, call Kim Patrick at 742-7435. The educational exhibit is great for science classes as supplemental classroom teaching, Johnson said. The exhibit is on display until May 8th. The traveling exhibit is from the North Carolina Arboretum and made possible by the FMH Foundation and Carnegie Circle through Midland County Public Library Foundation. The Centennial Branch is open 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Friday and 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday. Also on display, Midland College is featuring a collection of printmaking work of Juana Estrada Hernandez in her exhibit, Ni de Aquí, Ni de Allá. The exhibit will be on view through February 12th in the Allison Fine Arts McCormick Gallery from 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday and 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Friday at Midland College. In her artist statement, Hernandez states that her artwork deals with social and political problems surrounding the DACA community, along with the inherent negative identity stigma of undocumented immigrants. Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals is an administrative relief from deportation, along with providing work permits for those who arrived illegally as minors. I believe that anti-immigration sentiments prevail in many parts of the country due to lack of insight on the realities of being labeled an illegal immigrant. I migrated to the United States at the age of 7 with my family from Zacatecas, Mexico. My early childhood experiences growing up in the United States as a young undocumented immigrant served as inspiration for this current work. Hernandez earned her Bachelor of Fine Arts in printmaking at Fort Hays State University in Hays, Kansas. She is currently pursuing a Master of Fine Arts in printmaking at the University of Mexico in Albuquerque. Native Midlander creates Flatland Native Photography Book by J.C. Lewis. A Native Midlander has created a photo book about Midland and surrounding areas, made possible from pictures he posted on Instagram a couple of years ago. J.M. Smith said he created Flatland Native to highlight the not obvious parts of Midland which make the city interesting. I started to reread Friday Night Lights last year because I have a history degree now, he said. Reading the book, then walking around looking at buildings like the old bank building downtown and the petroleum building, which has this amazing Art Deco architecture, kind of tells the story of Midland. He started his Instagram account, Young Bob Kennedy, to document Midland, then took a lot of the photos from his Instagram for the book. He photographed everything on his iPhone 8. Photos feature the Scarborough and Lineberry houses, Midland Farmers Co-op, and skyline of downtown, along with other scenes and towns of West Texas. He considers himself to be more of a writer than a photographer. He said the last paragraph of the book sums up his feelings about Midland and the project. The truly special thing about this world and about West Texas are the absurd things that don't make sense or can't easily be explained. But isn't that the beauty of being alive? So is it possible to hate a place that you love? I can't particularly see myself living anywhere else, but can I be a ramblin' man like Hank if I stay in one town? Do I not want people to change in this place, or do I believe this place needs to change in some pretty drastic ways? Is Midland Midland if it's not really Midland anymore? Or is Midland Midland because it'll always be Midland? Smith said he has aspirations to write something about Midland, or possibly do another photo book about Texas courthouses. The book has about 10,000 words, 250 photos, and 306 pages. He describes the book as a perfect coffee table book, or topic of discussion for Midlanders. He started taking one-point perspective photographs in 2018. He decided to self-publish the photo book last September. Orders can be arranged through his Instagram messages at Young Bob Kennedy, YUNGBOBKENNEDY, or by emailing flatland-native2020@gmail.com. Books are $65.
Hello, this is Kay reading the Odessa American for Monday, January 18th, 2021. opinion. National View. The anti-vaxxers are determined to sow doubt. The point, here's how to build faith instead. 57 vials containing more than 500 doses of the Moderna coronavirus vaccine were removed from a pharmacy refrigerator by an employee in a Wisconsin medical center last month. Inadvertently, officials said at first, and then they revised their statement. The act was intentional. The inoculations against the coronavirus rolling out around the country are the targets of intense disinformation campaigns that have spurred concerns about safety and efficacy, even among healthcare workers. Leaders of long-standing anti-vaccine groups see this pivotal moment as a prime opportunity to leverage the rumor-mongering infrastructure they've built over the course of years. The Post reports that members of the National Vaccine Information Center are coordinating a master narrative that the virus isn't a threat and that the safeguards against it are. They're ballooning isolated instances of side effects into proof of general dangerousness, homing in on prominent online health influencers to spread their propaganda, and targeting African-American communities whose fraught history with the medical community has primed them for skepticism. The best antidote to bad information is good information. Trickier is figuring out how to administer it. Removing false claims is nigh impossible for platforms to do at scale without too much slipping through the cracks, and studies show the practice sometimes only makes people more eager for what they start to see as suppressed knowledge. Applying fact checks and reducing algorithmic spread can help, yet at the core of this conundrum is the question of trust. Experts suggest pre-bunking or anticipating lies and filling the void before their arrival with facts. They also emphasize the need for honesty about where the vaccine is imperfect, such as with adverse reactions, unanticipated side effects, and imperfect efficacy. Members of the public need to be assured ahead of time that these issues do exist, that they aren't evidence of widespread harm, and that no one is trying to hide anything from them. The public also needs to hear all this in the right places from the right people. That means responsible reporting from media outlets, whether it comes from a national newspaper's editorial page or a local daily's lead story. The messenger can matter as much as the message, especially in insular communities, suspicious of vaccines in particular, or the government generally. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention can probably do much less to persuade an ultra-Orthodox Jewish community to get its shots than can a nearby synagogue with whom the agency might partner. Physicians should be trained in how to assuage patients' fears. Individuals should be taught how to assuage the fears of their loved ones. The forces that seek to sow doubt are determined and disciplined. Those who hope to build faith in these life-saving vaccines must be similarly committed. The Washington Post.
This is Connie reading the Odessa American for Wednesday, January 20th, 2021. Who Doesn't Want Cake for Breakfast? By Brenda Garcia, MSRD, United Supermarkets Lifestyle Desk. Dietitians always like to focus on an all-inclusive approach to creating your food lifestyle. Be cautious of when diets suggest you to eliminate certain foods or whole food groups out of the diet. With the right guidance, cake for breakfast can be possible, even during diet season of the new year. Unless you have an allergy or intolerance, we suggest incorporating all foods in your diet in a healthy and fun way. It's also important to be mindful if you eliminate something from your diet, you might end up overindulging later. So you must find your moderation. While we aren't suggesting you eat cake alone for breakfast, this is a fun way to incorporate it. It's citrus season, so this recipe is a perfect way to incorporate some of those delicious oranges. They are so flavorful and sweet right now. Try this with navel oranges, or go out on a limb and try a caracara orange, which has a pink color to it. Sumo oranges are also another fun variety to try. They look like little sumo wrestlers, but not nearly as tough. Not to be neglected is the fact that they are full of vitamin C, which is important for your immune system and helps rebuild collagen in the skin. Pistachios have many wonderful benefits, including health with weight management. One serving provides you with a whopping 49 nuts for only 160 calories and 6 grams of protein. Research has shown that including these in diets helps to promote healthy weight loss through satiety. Also, if you eat pistachios in the shell, this further helps with weight management by slowing down eating, which could lead to greater fullness. Sounds pretty great, right? Well, the benefits don't end there. Did you know that eating pistachios with carb-containing foods can help improve blood glucose response and insulin sensitivity? Wow! The protein, fiber, and healthy fat combination of pistachios are a real winner. Adding in the plain Greek yogurt helps your body too. First, those important probiotics are found abundantly in the yogurt. This recipe uses the plain yogurt since there is plenty of sweetness coming from the cake, a little swap, if you will. The Greek-style yogurt is also a great source of protein. So now you know how to have your cake and eat it too. Recipe for citrus yogurt bowl with angel food cake croutons. What you need: a half cup plain Greek yogurt, 1/8 angel food cake from bakery, 1 clementine, 1 ounce pistachios, 4 mint leaves. How it's made: preheat oven to 350. Cut angel food cake into half-inch squares. Line a baking sheet with parchment paper and place angel food cake on top. Bake for 5 to 7 minutes. Peel and break apart clementine. Roughly chop pistachios. Chiffonade mint. In a bowl, place yogurt on bottom and layer on clementines, angel food cake, croutons, pistachio, and mint.
Blood pressure meds, tinnitus. Dear Dr. Roach, I recently spent time with a seasoned hearing-impaired citizen. She told me that tinnitus is sometimes caused by prescription meds, especially those for high blood pressure. I have been taking 25 milligrams of Losartan, one per day in the morning, for about 15 years. About 5 years ago, my tinnitus began. Lately, it seems to have become worse. Do you think there is a connection? Is there another blood pressure med I can take that does not have this side effect? FAC. Answer. Tinnitus is a sensation of noise in or near the head in absence of an external cause. Tinnitus and hearing loss always, or nearly so, go together, but there is a long list of medicines that can cause tinnitus, which is thought to be caused by damage to the organ of hearing or to the nerve. I have done some research suggesting that angiotensin receptor blockers like Losartan have a lower risk of tinnitus compared with other blood pressure drugs. I don't think changing medicines from Losartan is likely to help your tinnitus, and you should never stop a medicine without discussing with your doctor. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach. Roach's column appears Tuesdays through Saturdays. Readers may write him at P.O. Box 536-475, Orlando, Florida, 32853-6475. This is Kay reading the Odessa American for Tuesday, January 26th, 2021, etc. Marriage is a sticking point for old friends reconnecting. Dear Abby, I've been dating a guy for 5 years. We were high school classmates and became close friends shortly after that. Abby, he's the man of my dreams. I've been in love with him since we were 16 years old. We married other people, but we are divorced now and we are together. We are both 46. I want to get married and he knows it. We have discussed it, but every time I bring it up, and I always bring it up, he never does. He has an excuse. He says it's only a piece of paper. We've both already been married. I have some debt, etc. I have a 19-year-old daughter, and he has 2 kids, 13 and 11. We all get along, even our exes. I am tired of being just the girlfriend. This is not how I want to live the rest of my life. I have always wanted to be his wife. He's a good man. He treats me great, is respectful, considerate, and I love him so much. Must I suck it up and live and die as his girlfriend, or leave because he doesn't want to get married? If I leave, I have no plans on dating or trying to marry anyone else. I'm fine alone. Please help. Wants the piece of paper. Dear Wants, as you have framed it, your boyfriend, whom you love very much, doesn't want to formalize the relationship, and if you break things off, you don't plan to become involved with anyone else. If you are asking me for magic words that will convince your marriage-phobic boyfriend to make a permanent commitment, you are asking something that isn't possible. If he feels as strongly about you as you do him, he may come around one day, but there are no guarantees. And yes, you will have to suck it up if you're not prepared to leave, and while you're doing that, make the best of it. Dear Abby, I've been dating a beautiful woman for a year now. We have fallen deeply in love. We have the kind of relationship that one can only dream of, and we couldn't be happier. I've bought her some jewelry, including rings, to show her my love. She wears them, but she also wears jewelry, including rings, from past relationships. I told her this bothers me. She said those items don't have any sentimental value. She just likes them. I have no doubt she means that. Should I overlook this and not let it bother me, or should I be more persistent? Expression of love. Dear Expression, your feelings are your feelings. Seeing your lady friend enjoy jewelry she received from other men bothers you. You have told her as much. While at one time the items were symbols of the affection her exes had for her, to her they are now just jewelry. If you want to continue the relationship with her, place less importance on the baubles. They have nothing to do with you or the relationship you both enjoy now. Dear Abby, Abigail Van Buren, write Dear Abby at P.O. Box 69440, Los Angeles, California, 90069, or visit www.dearabby.com.
Royal Stars by Madeline Aslan. The stars show the kind of day you'll have. 5 dynamic, 4 positive, 3 average, 2 so-so, 1 difficult. A baby born today has a sun in Aquarius and a moon in Cancer. Happy birthday for Tuesday, January 26th, 2021. Bold, dramatic, and confident, you go with everything you have got. Remain calm this year, and all will be well. By carefully planning out your campaign for 2021, you succeed tremendously. If single, some find it difficult to be intimate with you. Let your intentions be better known, and you'll find your committed partner. If attached, a loving, understanding, but firm mate does wonders for you. Taurus fits the bill. Aries, March 21 through April 19. 3 stars. Today, despite the work you have to do, promises focus on your domestic environment. Be receptive to changing home and family dynamics. It is a perfect time to repair and redecorate your home and surroundings. Tonight, a family discussion over dinner. Taurus, April 20 through May 20. 3 stars. It is easy to get distracted at work today. There will be some conflicts between male and female energies, or between home and business concerns. Ignore cross currents and interference and focus on your true heart's desire. Tonight, a sibling could grow closer. Gemini, May 21 through June 20. 4 stars. Balancing financial matters in order to acquire items you need and want will be important today. You can go on an online shopping expedition. Keep all receipts and compare prices, though. Tonight, your ruler Mercury is going into retrograde, and you might change your mind. Cancer, June 21 through July 22. 5 stars. Today you will be powerful and effective. There is a new warmth and action that carries you forward. If angry feelings build, examine the consequences before you act. Protect yourself against the cold, and don't go overboard with exercise. Tonight, feeling proud of yourself. Leo, July 23 through August 22. 4 stars. Seclusion helps you heal and get centered today. You'll experience a sense of aloneness. Appreciate the advantages of privacy and cherish the quiet times. Charitable acts and kindnesses you perform warm you with an inner glow in the cold winter. Tonight, early Betty buys. Virgo, August 23 through September 22. 4 stars. Today brings new loves and friendships. Your social circles are undergoing a catharsis, but the result is positive. Faith is an important factor in any project's success. Tonight, reach out to an old work colleague with whom you haven't spoken in a long time. Libra, September 23 through October 22. 3 stars. Today finds you awash with ambition and longing. Enjoy what you have. Don't let yourself be tormented by thoughts of greener pastures. Make a list of your many accomplishments and love yourself for each one of them. Tonight, reread your list. Scorpio, October 23 through November 21. 5 stars. Today brings eloquence. If you want to write or lecture to groups, proceed with the confidence that you will do well. Involve yourself in learning experiences. Your perspective broadens. It's easy to rise above worries and be optimistic. Tonight, reach out to a foreign-born friend. Sagittarius, November 22 through December 21. 4 stars. Today brings a curiosity about death's mysteries. There's a message of wisdom and comfort from the spirit realm. A sense of déjà vu prevails. Look at repeating patterns to understand the future. Give yourself extra rest. Tonight, a relaxing herbal soak in the tub. Capricorn, December 22 through January 19. 3 stars. Today illustrates the value of cooperation. Your partnership sector is highlighted. Others have plans and want to involve you. Respect the ideas and motives of co-workers. Be fair. Rules, regulations, and justice are important guidelines to assure harmony in our crowded world. Tonight, relax. Aquarius, January 20 through February 18. 2 stars. Always exercise your eyes if reading or doing other close work for long periods of time. Take breaks from glaring artificial light during the workday and walk in the full spectrum daylight. Headaches induced by stress or diet can be a real health concern. Tonight, in recovery. Pisces, February 19 through March 20. 4 stars. Relationships with children assume a new dimension, and you will express true love in new ways.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American.
Makes you rather secretive.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
1958.